السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يحده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So inshallah, in the 20 or so minutes that we have between now and iftar, just a short reminder from a majlis of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala in his majalis of Ramadan. And in this particular reminder, the Shaykh spoke about the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Al-Hakim. Allah is Al-Hakam, Al-Hakim. He is the one who judges. He is the one who is wise. And the Shaykh explains, after praising Allah and sending salat and salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to him belongs the judgment, and to him belongs wisdom. And he has wisdom in what he created, in what he creates, in his khalq. And he has wisdom in what he legislates, in his shara. And so he is Al-Hakim in his creation, and he is Al-Hakim in his legislation. Shaykh goes on to explain that there is no act of worship except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are wisdoms in that worship, and whether we know that or whether we do not know, there is nevertheless still a wisdom. And as far as our knowledge is concerned, as the Shaykh mentions from the ayah in the Quran, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, that you have not been given of knowledge except a very small amount. And so therefore, that which is with Allah of wisdom in his creation, first of all, he created the creation, he created man, he created the animals, he created the wind, the rain, the trees, and all things for the benefit of mankind, within which are many wisdoms which we can acquire knowledge of, and many more wisdoms of which we may never acquire knowledge of. So that's his creation. Then on top of that, Allah Azza wa Jal, on the basis of what he created, he legislated for mankind, the Sharia, the Torah, for Musa alayhi salam, and in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, within which there are many, many things: acts of worship, rulings pertaining to dealings, rulings pertaining to akhlaq, manners, morals. And in all of that, as the Shaykh mentioned, there are some wisdoms that we can understand, but many more wisdoms that are only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the purpose behind this legislation, the legislation of these acts of worship? It is to test mankind. It is for ibtila. And it is for imtihan, as the Shaykh says, so that Allah can distinguish between the person who is a worshipper of Allah and the one who is a worshipper of his desires. So that which Allah has legislated in his sharia, whether it be the acts of worship, as we said, to worship Allah, whether it be the mu'amalat, which are the dealings between the people, and whatever else is besides that, it is to see who is the one to enable, for it to be known who is the one who worships Allah and who is the one who worships his own desires. The Shaykh goes on to say that from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that these acts of worship, Allah has made them to be of various types. He has made them into various types. And we find that some of the people, they are inclined to some acts of worship, but they are averse to other acts of worship. And in all of the acts of worship, there is that which refines the person, refines the soul, refines the heart, refines the manners. So these acts of worship, they apply or they relate to different aspects of the body and the soul and the heart. So for example, the Shaykh says, rahimahullah, he says that Allah Azza wa Jal, he's made some acts of worship that relate to the body. Right? It's just physical to do with the body. And this is, for example, the salah, the prayer. Some of the acts of worship relate to wealth, which a person is naturally inclined to and which he loves. So an example of that clearly is the zakah. Some of the acts of worship are related to both the body and the wealth combined. And the examples of that, clear examples of that, is al-jihad and likewise al-hajj. Jihad and al-hajj. So there's physical, the body is involved, and likewise spending from one's own wealth is involved. And some of the acts of worship are simply nothing but withholding. You simply withhold. And an example of that clearly is the example of the siyam, of the fasting, in which a person withholds from that which he loves, from that which he desires of food and drink and relations. So in other words, in the Sharia, all of the acts of worship, they are varied, they are different in terms of what aspect of the man and his body and his soul and his heart and what he possesses, what do they relate to? And so because all of these acts of worship, it is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they are varied in this manner, so that every person, some people are inclined towards worship, some people are people of wealth, they are able to spend from the wealth Allah has given to them, some people have bodily strength, they are strong physically, and so they're able to do certain acts of worship. So all of this in this variation, this is a manifestation of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that He legislated all these different acts of worship relating to different aspects of a person and what Allah has bestowed upon him of the body, of the mind, of the intellect, of wealth, and so on and so forth. So built upon all of that, as the Shaykh said, it is very clear that these acts of worship, they are there to distinguish between the worshipper of Allah and the worshipper of his desires. And these acts of worship, they enable a person to become a mahbub, a beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so on the basis of that, the Shaykh then goes on to explain that in relation to wisdoms, in relation to fasting specifically, there are numerous wisdoms in the Sharia. And the Shaykh mentioned 7 or 8 or so, so we'll quickly mention them inshallah ta'ala. From them, from the first of the wisdoms of As-Siyam, is that it is Allah Azza wa Jal has made it to be a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says that the servant, he abandons that which he loves and what he desires of food, ta'am and sharab and nikah and, you know, relations. And this is a clear manifestation of the truthfulness of his iman. The fact that a person, when he's not being seen by anybody, he abandons drink, he abandons food, and he abandons relations, and he abandons other things as well, which are part and parcel of fasting, evil speech, and all of the other things of the tongue and the heart. He abandons all of that, even when people are not observing him. So this is a sign, as the Shaykh says, sidqu, a sign of the sidq of his iman. The Shaykh gives an example. He says, until even there would be among the believers those that if you were to, someone was to beat them and to order him to break his fast, his iman would be so strong in the moment of fasting that he would refuse to break his fast. Right? And this is a sign of the sidq, of the truthfulness of a believer's iman, that he is willing to abandon all of these things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh says, this wisdom here, this wisdom is from the most far-reaching of the wisdoms of fasting. Right? It is to reach nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second wisdom of fasting, as is mentioned clearly in the ayah, is that fasting is a sabab, a means of taqwa. As we read in the ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon those before you, in order that you may acquire taqwa. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, explaining the reality of fasting, he who does not, مَلْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلِ فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. Whoever does not abandon false speech and acting upon false speech and ignorance, behavior upon ignorance, then Allah is in no need for that person abandoning his food and his drink. And so the fasting, as we said, it is not merely abandoning food and drink and relations, because these are just physical abandonments. Rather, it is the tongue abandoning what is prohibited upon it, and the heart abandoning, you know, feelings and you know, things which would be prohibited. The Shaykh goes on to say that the Messenger of Allah, he ordered the fasting person, if he's abused by somebody or harmed by somebody, that he says, Inni mra'un sa'in. Indeed, I am a man who is fasting. So he's prohibited to return evil or harm or abuse or revilement with the likes. And he's ordered to say that I am fasting, which shows that fasting is not merely just abandoning food and drink and relations. From the wisdoms of fasting, the Shaykh goes on to mention, is that while a person is fasting, the heart is emptied in order to remember Allah and to reflect. Right? It is al-dhikr, al-fikr, al-fikr wa-dhikr. To be able to reflect and cogitate and think and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is because a person is not thinking or preoccupied in obtaining the food and the drink, the shahawat, the things that he's inclined to. And so therefore the heart is left vacant for it to think and to reflect. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what indicates this is the hadith in which the Messenger of Allah, he said that the worst container the son of Adam can fill is his stomach. Is his stomach. And it is sufficient for the son of Adam to take a few morsels of food which will keep his back straight. And if there's no escape from taking, then a third for his food, a third for his drink, and a third for his breathing. So this is generally outside of fasting, that a believer, that he should eat minimally and enough in order to keep his back upright, meaning to keeping nourished to the ability that he's able to do what he needs to do of his work and to fulfill the acts of worship. That is sufficient. Anything in excess, anything beyond, then because the body is forced to work and expend of its energy to digest that excessive food that a person did not need, that then preoccupies the heart and the soul and the mind from dhikr and from reflection and from the clarity and the purity of the mind. Because we know many of the salaf, many of the sahaba, there are narrations where they explain that hunger and little food is something that keeps the heart clean and the mind clean. And it sharpens the intellect, it sharpens the mind. So that the heart is then left for reflection and for remembrance and so on and so forth. In fact, we have a statement from Abu Sulaiman al-Darani, rahimahullah, who said, إِنَّ النَّفْسِ إِذَا جَاعَتْ وَعَطِشَتْ صَفَى الْقَلْبِ وَرَقَّ وَإِذَا شَبِئَتْ عَمِيَ الْقَلْبِ. Mentioning exactly what we just said, that indeed the soul, when it is hungry, when the self, when it is hungry and when it is thirsty, the heart becomes pure and it becomes soft. But when it becomes full, when it is satiated and full, then the heart becomes blind. So this is the third wisdom from the wisdoms of fasting, that it empties the heart and empties the mind and empties the soul and leads a person to be able to think and to reflect and also to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth wisdom the Shaykh mentions, rahimahullah, from the wisdoms of fasting, is for us to acknowledge the great bounty and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that Allah has given us food and drink and marriage for relations, alongside the fact that many amongst mankind they are deprived of these things. They are deprived of food, they are deprived of drink, they live in poverty, they live in famine maybe, and they are unable to get married because of lack of wealth and lack of means. And so this is the fact that we withhold from these things while we are fasting is a recognition of the bounty and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this reason, the Shaykh mentioned the hadith, كَانَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونَ فِي رَمَضَانِ, that the Messenger of Allah, he was the most generous of the people, but he was most generous during Ramadan, when Jibreel would meet him and he would revise the Quran with him. So this is the fourth benefit, for us to recognize the favor and the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us by way of the food and the drink and the relations. The fifth benefit mentioned by the Shaykh rahimahullah is that fasting is at-tamarrun ala dhabt an-nafs. At-tamarrun ala dhabt an-nafs, which is for us to be able to train and to exercise our ability to control and to restrain the soul and to dominate the soul. Because as we know, the soul, naturally there is an element to it which incites to evil. So either the person, he dominates the soul, or the soul will dominate him and lead him to its desires. The Shaykh says, the soul is something which commands to the evil for most people except those upon whom Allah bestows mercy. And if a person leaves the field open for his soul, then it will lead him into things that will destroy him and cause him to perish. And so therefore the fasting, as the Shaykh says, is a means and an opportunity to make this tamarrun, you know, this exercising to dominate the soul and to restrain the soul. From the wisdoms and all of these things, you see the Muslims, walhamdulillah, you see these wisdoms of fasting. Of all the people of the earth, they are the ones who are able to show the greatest of restraint and the greatest of patience upon the greatest of the types of trials in life. Also from the wisdoms and benefits the Shaykh mentions is that fasting, it breaks in a person those feelings of arrogance and pride and rejoicement and the things that, you know, that mislead a person from the affairs of the world. The Shaykh says that it is kasrun nafs, it breaks the soul from its arrogance until it submits to the truth and it becomes gentle and soft to the creation. So this is from the wisdoms of fasting. And so therefore, from the soul that is removed.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah. Hayya ala salah. Hayya ala al falah. Hayya ala al falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
So the sixth wisdom, hikmah mentioned by the Shaykh rahimahullah, is that the fasting, it breaks and removes from the soul the arrogance and the pride and the insolence. The Shaykh explains what this means. He says that when we are not fasting, we are pursuing provision. We marry, have relations, we have children. People pursue the worldly things. And when they pursue the worldly things and they achieve the worldly things, such as provision, such as offspring, such as fulfilling one's desires, that feeling of achievement and rejoicement, it makes a person to have a sense of pride and achievement, and this leads to feelings of arrogance in some people and insolence in some people. So when fasting, when we abandon pursuing these things during fasting, then that in turn, it smashes and breaks these feelings that might be present in some people. Arrogance, pride, insolence, ulu, feeling higher and better than other people. And so it creates, it makes the soul to be humble. So this is the sixth benefit. The seventh wisdom mentioned by the Shaykh, rahimahullah, is that fasting, it puts an end to the whispering of shaitan due to hunger. Because shaitan, as we know, as occurs in the hadith, that he flows in the blood, in the son of Adam, like the flow of blood. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ يَجْرِي مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمْ مَجْرَ الدَّمْ, as we see in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So when we fast, then because of hunger and because of thirst, then that activity in the blood, that flow and the activity of the blood is dampened and decreased, and therefore the whispering, shaitan being able to whisper and to access that person, you know, his soul and his mind and his heart, then it is diminished. And likewise, it breaks the feeling of shahwa, it breaks ghadab, anger. And this is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would encourage especially the youth to fast outside of Ramadan, because as he said, O gathering of the youth, whoever amongst you is able to get married, then let him get married, for indeed it is better for his sight, for his vision, and more protective of his private parts. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, and whoever is not able, then فَعَلِيهِ بِالصَّوْمِ, then upon him is to fast, because indeed it is for him a breaking of the desire. So this is from the wisdom number seven, that it restricts the ability of shaitan to whisper to that person. And finally, right at the very end, from the wisdoms of fasting, right at the very end, is the benefits that arise upon a person. مَا يَتَرَتَّبْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْفُوَائِدِ الصِّحِيَّةِ. These are health benefits, right? This is from the wisdoms. But it's not what we pursue and seek in fasting. In fasting, we are seeking the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are seeking refinement of the soul. We are seeking all those things that were mentioned before. Nevertheless, from a dunyawi point of view, from a physical point of view, there are health benefits to fasting. This is more like a barakah, a consequence, a benefit, a blessing of fasting, alongside being a wisdom as well, even though it's not the wisdom that we pursue. And so the Shaykh says that when a person has little food, little drink, then he gives rest, as the Shaykh says, he gives rest to the means or the instruments of digestion, right, to the stomach, to the colon, to the intestine. These are given a rest, and this in turn leads to any excesses which have built up to be eliminated, and it leads to better health as well. So we are unlike the people of disbelief. The people of disbelief, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They only see and know the apparent things in the life of the world. And so therefore you see them speaking about intermittent fasting and fasting. You know, they even speak about the fasting of the Prophet of Islam, fasting 2 days, you know, a week. And all of this for them is purely dunyawi. It's purely worldly to be healthy. What benefit is health if it doesn't lead you to worship Allah, to be grateful to Allah, and to be upon His tawheed, and to seek the hereafter? What benefit is health if it's at the expense of the truth and the hereafter and so on and so forth? So we are unlike the people of disbelief. We don't fast because it gives you health benefits. We fast because it is nearness to Allah. It makes you have taqwa of Allah. It makes you refine your soul, to break your arrogance, to be grateful to Allah for the bounties and favors. These are all the wisdoms and the benefits in fasting. And with that, we conclude our brief reminder. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.